Step into your private luxury premium blocked party episode. The content you can only get by giving us your money. Look at you, you're such a big time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of Blocked Party. This is Hellblock 11, the very special episodes where we dig into a block of our very own Stefan Hex.
Yep.
And I'm John. Oh, that's great.
Did that was actually one where it escaped, and I was trying to keep it in.
I did notice that Stefan tried to keep it in, and he couldn't.
Thank you.
Which
please.
I think actually made
I'm
it
sorry.
Worse.
I know. I'm sorry, everyone.
Anyway, that's Stefan. He's disgusting. Very sorry for this.
Sorry.
Sorry to you, the listener, and also
Brett, yeah.
Sorry to our guest, who is one of our faves. We're thrilled to have him back on the show. He is one half of Street Fight Radio and a very handsome man indeed. Brett Payne is here. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always love belching contests, flatulation, any of that stuff. Go time for me. No problems.
I mean, I was going to say, like, on the one hand, I was like sort of embarrassed. But then on the other hand, you do a podcast with Brian. So,
yeah, he really doesn't regulate himself at all. He'll like will swallow a whole seltzer water and then try to talk through a burp.
Yes.
Like he would just run with it.
That's like what? Well, so I drank the lemonade.
Yes.
Which I think probably contributed to it. We had the McDonald's.
Yes.
And then I've started drinking the seltzer. And so it's just like, I mean, it was going to happen at some point, but I did try and kind of,
yeah, you did try to suppress it.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah. It could have been much louder.
Not to talk shit on Brian. I mean, I know he'll listen to this. So it doesn't matter. But one thing I find crazy, and I've said this to Becca before too, I'll notice this when we're recording POD cast, like you said, he does not regulate himself. He will drink nothing for 30 straight minutes, and then he will take a 900 milliliter Gatorade and drink it in two gulps in like under a minute. And I'm like, what? Who lives like this? What is happening right now?
Yeah, he like grabs a can and squeezes it and like presses the back in to just like consume a whole can of pop.
Yes, he's like Homer Simpson. Like the way he eats and drinks is Homer. You're like, no one does this. Yes, Brian Quinby does it. It's crazy. And we'll record like, because POD cast, we always do two episodes at a time because we'll do our main episode and then we do our singles episode. The singles episode is only like 20 minutes, but we're basically recording for like 3 hours. And in 3 hours, he will drink like 3 900 milliliter Gatorades. It's incredible. And it makes me think of the, like, because I was saying this to Becca and she's like, oh, I wonder if he's like that with food. And I was like, yeah, remember the Caramellos when he just like bought a case of Caramellos and he's like, I've had 5 Caramellos today. I'm like, you're 42. You just had 5 chocolate bars in a day. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, he knows how to prioritize his treats.
Yeah,
he makes sure that he has an allotted amount of treats during the day, which I mean, we could all stand to learn from. You know, I need my treats. Caramellos is a bad choice, though. That's a bad. Bad path.
What are Caramellos?
Caramello is basically like a caramel.
Okay,
it's like a It's like a British.
Oh, is it
bar.
Just the British version of caramel?
Yeah, kinda,
or it's just the
yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah, I mean that's it's a pretty just, like 5 of those in a day. Oh my God. I don't know if I could handle one full one now. Like, I think it would just be too much for me. So,
One of the things that Brian and I have in common is we do love candy, and that I cannot talk of shit about Brian because I will eat bags and bags of candy if you get in front of me.
I love candy too. I have a horrible sweet tooth.
And it's so annoying to me when adults like will only eat like, oh, I only like dark chocolate for the flavonoids or something. And I'm like, no, give me made up flavors. Give me made up fruits. Give me a bronco berry jelly. I want that from Arby's and like a jelly bean. Give me fucked up fruits to eat. I don't want just nonsense, just sugar that's in a rope form or a dust form or something that's never been done before. I'll eat that.
I think we just got red vines up here recently.
Did we?
Is what I've heard. Okay. And I love red vines.
Yeah.
But I love Twizzlers too. I don't have to choose between the two of them. But
I agree.
On the way back from the cabin when we were there last weekend on the ferry, I bought an entire bag of wine gums.
No, I didn't see that.
And ate like the entire thing in like a day.
Yeah. Wine gums are so good though.
Are wine gums, Brett, do you have wine gums down there?
I don't. I'm jealous already that you've said it. I would say just my quick tip with red vines, my favorite thing to do with a red vine, bite both ends off, put it in a Coke and use it as a straw. Yeah. You got yourself a cherry Coke.
Incredible.
You know?
Oh, wow. That does
that's
really
a great
good.
Call. That's a great call.
I've done it.
It's
British, I think.
Yeah, they're Maynards and they're supposed to be, so they're called wine gums. They're basically like a, they're like a gummy, but they're harder to chew. They're pretty chewy.
They're chewy. And
they're
supposed
meant
to
taste like alcohol. There's a sherry flavor, a brandy flavor. Port.
I mean, they don't really,
but they don't taste like that. They just taste really good.
They're
I don't
really
like
good.
Alcohol. They taste fucking
they're
amazing.
They're fantastic. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The freaky flavors that I like makes Brian go crazy. And I got to say, y'all have really shocked me already so far. Wine gums is something I've never even considered eating.
We'll have to send you some wine gums.
Actually,
Brett,
should send you like a Canadian candy care.
Yeah,
package.
We'll send you a
little.
Have you had Coffee Crisp?
I don't know Coffee Crisp.
Oh, I mean, that's like a
S tier bar.
That's like a that's the most. Like I, as a Canadian, that's what I'm most proud of. I think
you're
coffee
proud
crisp
of like
is coffee.
Yeah,
crisp.
It's a delicious bar.
Yeah, I had the all dressed. They started doing the all dressed here. Mm-hmm. It didn't blow my mind as much.
All dressed,
you know?
I find is a little overrated.
I like all dressed. I mean, I think they're really good, but I don't eat them that often.
I think ketchup. If you want to go for true calamity, the voodoo chip by Zapp's is where they throw a bunch of flavors that don't belong to be together. Like all dressed is like well thought out, like with the sweet and the savory and the molasses and all that. But like, the voodoo chip has just all of the flavors in one in a legitimate way that it shouldn't make sense, but it really does.
I've wanted to try the voodoo chip for so long.
Like, we'll do a snack trade.
We should do that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, because also, well, do you have Grippos? Is that
that's from Ohio. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because I've had Grippos before, the barbecue Grippos, and
that's the one.
They're fucking incredible. They're so good. Yeah, we gotta do a candy.
What are
exchange.
Grippos? Those are chips?
Yeah, barbecue
potato chips. Yeah.
They're so good.
Because I feel like I was getting it mistaken. Because isn't there also an Ohio pickle brand called Grillo's? Am I making that up?
Is that Ohio?
Maybe?
I've heard of that. I think brand.
Grillo's, but I don't know if it's Ohio.
Okay, Grillo's pickles. I'm looking it up. Oh no, it's not. It's oh wait, hold on.
Dan, can you pull?
Oh,
up
there
a video?
We go. Grillo's Fresh Club.
Can you,
Grillo's
can you pull
pickles.
Up a video?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Here we go. Oh god.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Grillo's is Boston, apparently.
Brett,
that's much
okay.
worse than
Brett,
Ohio.
Do you know we talked about burping and how Brian will just like burp and chug a bunch of seltzer or whatever. Do you know who Badlands Chugs is?
No.
He's like fast food review guy adjacent. Like I don't consider him to be a fast food review guy because he doesn't really do much fast food stuff. It's mostly like food challenges, like eating food very fast, but he famously chugs liquids faster than like anyone in the world.
Yeah, he's literally okay. Yeah, he won. Won the contest.
Because he was in the Nathan's hot dog
this year, and he won lemonade. They did a lemonade chug.
I mean, they like made that contest for him
so that he could
like,
win. It was only him and one other guy,
yeah,
but he
and
killed
he kicked
the
his
other
ass.
Guy.
Yeah, he's incredible. But
hey, that's how you start a phenomenon. You know, that's what gets more people putting the time in the gym to chug faster.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
so right.
So the nice thing about Badlands is like I've obviously subjected John to a lot of fast food review guy content. And he hates it and it's like horrible. But Badlands is like legitimately like a cool charismatic.
I mean,
guy.
I don't much care for Badlands either. Like I don't need to I don't need to like I do think he is a he seems like a fine guy.
He would be fun to hang out with.
I did like
you've
when
got,
he, I did like
when
he, yeah, yeah, I do. Well, and I also, I did like when he chugged the ocean. I mean, that was like a pretty good, oh, it was like his 100th video or something
like
that.
2 million subscribers on YouTube or something. Cause he gets a lot of views. And so he got like a special
straw. He got one of those straws that has that like turns, a filter like, in it. Salt water into fresh
And so he just
water.
Went to the ocean and drank a bunch of the
I mean,
ocean.
Certainly those straws don't work. And so he literally just drank seawater, but it was fun to watch. Just the title too, Badlands Chugs the Ocean. Yeah. I mean, that's just a
It was fantastic. But this is, Dan's going to pull this up and maybe you can, you'll hear it.
Yeah, he'll be able to hear it.
I think he's chugging Topo Chico.
Oh yes,
it's very bubbly.
It's very, very bubbly.
It's the it's the finest I think of all the seltzers. It's my number one.
Yeah. I agree, mine as well. The hint of lime.
Yeah. So here we go. Oh no, he's just chugging.
Or the plain and throw your own lime in.
Yeah, that's also a great call.
Oh, this is okay. Yeah. So this is just Coke, I think.
Yeah, it looks like it's just Coke.
I think he might just be like in his garage or something. Here.
Diet Coke. So this is the thing. Like, I would never watch this of my own volition.
And
I
want
to say, like, Badlands is saying he's good is like fine, but I would never just watch.
Okay,
this.
But so this has almost 6 million views. Also,
yeah, he's chugging a 2 liter of Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'll skip to the burp.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a party. It sounds like a party. I'm into this. Ready to get down.
He does the beats for his channel, or like his son does the beats for his channel, which is like so cool.
Okay, so yeah, he's smart.
He's great.
He's an entrepreneur.
Oh, here it comes, I think. Yeah, yeah. He's doing one more chug, I think.
He finishes. He finishes the two. Oh,
he's in pain.
Can't do it.
Here it is.
Oh, my God. This is for you, Ruffy.
Woo! That fucking rocks. Okay, I'm a fan.
Okay. That wasn't the video I was thinking of.
That was so sick.
That's the biggest one by far.
It was sick. I am sick now.
He did a Topo Chico one that was like very big, but this was like.
We don't need another one. That's
no. We don't have to have the. But like, I mean, that was incredible. That blew my
mind. I'm blown away. Yeah. My hair was lifted off my head.
So, and you should watch video too.
You were like throwing up the devil horns.
Yeah. Right? Like, but you should watch the video too because he gets like right up close to the camera. And
yeah.
Like,
it's a wild time.
Yeah. That will rattle the pictures off the wall.
It was so loud. And Dan had the volume at like the bare minimum on YouTube as well.
It's one of those where when it first starts happening, you think it's fake.
Yes.
You're like, oh, he's like dubbed in something. But then as it keeps going, you're like, oh no, that's just,
you can tell
that's just
real.
That's not, he hasn't doctored that at all.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Also, I hang around a lot of people that are under 10 years old. And so if I show them something like this, like I'm cool dad status is like certified.
Yeah. Oh, they would love
that's
that.
That's actually so true. Yeah. You're right. When I was that age, I would have loved something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You're
it's
right.
It's funny. Like,
and Stefan still loves it. So it goes to show
what
we're working with here. Yeah.
I know like Jesse obviously will watch a lot of fast food review guys. Like we'll watch them on like on the
Go Off Kings.
Yeah. And he'll also watch them just of his own volition. And he will. Well, what he used to do is he would listen to the video, so he'd be like have his like AirPods in and like walk around the house doing chores, and he'd be like listening to Joey videos.
Jesse doesn't like music, which is like it's just so bizarre to not only not like music,
he likes rap, he likes like 3-6 Mafia.
But he doesn't, though. I mean, we had him on PODcast and he was like, I don't listen to music unless I'm working out, and even then I don't care. And
that's unacceptable.
It's crazy. And then for me to like not only not like music, but then your music substitute is listening to the audio of fast food reviewers on YouTube. I mean, that's just psycho shit. That's crazy.
I respect how psycho it is, though.
It is so psycho.
But he will. So obviously,
yeah, he has
like,
a special mind
on his like YouTube homepage. Like if he's like bringing it up, because he'll watch it on like he'll watch it on the TV sometimes too, right? Like in his like living room.
Sure.
And so his
no,
kids,
not sure, but yeah,
his kids will go to like, his kids will go to YouTube and they'll see like the recommendations for like Joey and stuff.
I was just about to ask, does he show his kids Joey?
No. I think they are aware of him, but I think
right.
maybe the thumbnail for his videos is like frightening them away.
Just imagining them walking in on him watching Joey and Jesse being like, now kids, this is how daddy makes money.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to, for our like Patreon, we had to watch real sex. So like my daughter was doing Zoom school and I had to go lock the door and watch real sex in my room on my laptop for my job.
That's the HBO one, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's incredible.
And that's the one where it's always in like a, it's like an old person like sex club or something a lot of the time, right?
You know, it's a variety of things.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, most of the time it's just like people that waited too long to be sexually free and then they're like 60 and making up for it.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
It's a lot just in general. You guys have had a pretty punishing run lately because you're watching all those like epic movies or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in charge. I do most of the vegetable stuff for Street Fight. That's like nourishing and smart and like for the soul and to heal and change the world. But I've been dropping the ball. I got divorced earlier this year. And so Brian is like taking over all the content. Yeah. And now that we're watching the MCU once a week, like I am so mad at him. I get so fucking mad when I'm watching the movie. I can't sit through it. It's like I watch the same 15 minutes over and over again. Like I sit down, I'm like, Brett, watch it, pay attention. And as soon as it starts, I just start walking away and doing the dishes, or I start like answering a text message, or I start putting up Halloween decorations. I just cannot for the life of me pay attention to those fucking movies.
So these are like the parody movies, right?
Yeah, it's
like
parody movies. It started with Not Another Teen Movie, but then moved on
like
to
Scary
like,
Movie and like...
Yeah,
yes.
Scary Movie.
But those are like... Not Another those Teen Movie and Scary Movie are like good.
Good, and then they get real, real bad.
Because there's Epic Movie.
Epic Movie.
Date Movie.
Date movie.
God. Meet the Spartans.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And it's basically the story of it is that these two writers like Friedberg and Seltzer, they somehow were involved with Scary Movie, like not really, but they sued in court to get credits on Scary Movie. And they were able to spin that into a career where they were like, when they made these movies, it could say from the producers of Scary Movie, you know, and these guys didn't do anything actually. They just wanted, they did a court case finagling and got through. And then created, I mean, some of the most homophobic, anti-black and misogynistic stuff that I've ever seen. Like I was just floored and so embarrassed that I was alive and I didn't do terrorism when these movies came out. Like that somebody needed to be, they need to be stopped immediately for doing like date movie.
This is incredible. So I'm looking at their Wikipedia right now. So yeah, so it starts with the two of them. They did Spy Hard together and Scary Movie. They were writers on both of those.
Spy Hard was Leslie Nielsen, right?
Was it? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And then they've got Date Movie, Epic Movie, Meet the Spartans, Disaster Movie, Vampires Suck, The Starving Games, Best Night Ever, and Super Fast. And my favorite, I have two things I really like about this chart. The first one is Super Fast is their Fast and the Furious parody. And their budget for that movie was $20 million and it made $2
million. Oh.
I mean, it's astonishing the amount of money that there is to be spent on stuff like this.
Yes,
it's
but just, they've it's made a
frustrating.
Ton. They've made a ton. Like Date Movie, the budget was $20 million and they made $84 million. Epic Movie, the budget was $20 million and they made $86 million.
That's so much fucking money.
Like really the only ones that have done poorly are Disaster Movie did $34 million to a $20 million budget. And then Super Fast did really, really
bad.
Did they do Meet the Spartans since.
Or was that someone else?
No, they did Meet the Spartans. I said it. You were on your phone.
Well, I'm looking up an American Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? Brett, have you seen American Carol?
Yes, I've seen it.
No, I don't know that.
I have actually seen that one somehow.
That is like the super right wing parody movie with like
what?
Kevin Farley plays like Michael Moore, basically. He's called Michael Malone.
Oh no, okay. I'm thinking of a totally different one.
No.
It's so fucking bad. We watched it on Go Off Kings because it was on Amazon Prime. And like
that's not what am I thinking of. I was thinking of the Christmas Carol one, but it's not called a Christmas Carol, but it has like it's sort of about a Christmas Carol. You know the one I'm talking about?
So I think so. But American Carol was David Zucker, who did like, I think he did like Naked Gun and like, and I think he maybe did Spy Hard as well.
Right.
But American Carol, Brett, if you get the chance to watch it, I mean, it's like the unfunniest movie I've ever seen.
This
it's insane that it got made. And like, it's just, it's so fucking, I mean, it's super racist, obviously, and like misogynistic and homophobic. And it's just awful. But there is one scene in particular that I remember.
Yes, I'm thinking of An American Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Where Henry Winkler is the, it's a loose adaptation of A Christmas Carol, but it moves the story to New England.
Okay.
And then Henry Winkler plays Scrooge. I think that's the one I'm thinking of. I can't remember.
There's a scene in American Carol where, so Kevin Farley is playing Michael Moore, and he goes to this church, and he meets George Washington, played by John Voight, obviously. And then John Voight gives him this big speech about how he needs to be like patriotic and stop being like this, like, you know, pansy, like liberal or whatever. And then he opens the front doors of the, like, Kevin Farley's like, well, like, why should I, you know, why should I care about America or whatever? And then George Washington opens the front doors of the church, and it's ground zero on 9/11. It's incredible. It's so fun. I mean, that part's fun.
I would say it sounds excruciating. It sounds awful. It sounds like a really bad time. It sounds like as soon as Brian hears you explaining this, that it's going to be included in the movie cinematic universe episode we do.
Sorry, Brett.
Do you guys want to? So I got a couple things here. So Friedberg and Seltzer have two movies that haven't happened yet, announced.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is there, because the super fast one is a Fast and Furious parody.
Yes.
Is there a Marvel movie parody that's coming out?
No. Sort of close.
Or did they do that already?
They've announced, somehow I can't believe they haven't done it already, but they're doing a parody of another very, very massive film franchise.
Star Wars?
Yes, Star Wars. The title is...
They've been holding back for so long. Star Wars is perfect.
Good. Guys, just wait till you hear this title. Star Worlds Episode XXXIVE equals MC squared. Oh. The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi Who Went Rogue.
That's so fucking bad. Oh, did they also... there's the 40-year-old virgin, like the 40-year-old virgin parody. Did they do that too?
They did not do that.
That was a separate one, right? Where it's a very long title.
The other one they have announced is a parody of Taken, because everybody's waiting for that.
Yeah.
Who the Fuck Took My Daughter?
Okay. Okay.
You know, why not?
So these are...
Yeah, Taken. I remember that.
These are being filmed right now? Or
they just... So, well...
Or under production?
The filming for the Star Wars one was set for late 2017. So I'm guessing that's not happening.
Oh, no.
And the Taken one was also at the same time. It seems like they announced both of them, but neither one of them have come out. Now let's play one more game. I would like you guys... So Scary Movie on Rotten Tomatoes has a 53% approval rating.
Okay.
After Scary Movie, what do you think the highest approval rating number is? Out of date movie, epic movie, all of that. What number-wise, what do you think is the highest?
35%.
Okay, Brett?
Brian's been saying them, but I do not listen. I want to say there was a 17 in there.
So, no, none of them have hit double digits. 8%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Spy Movie with 8% is the next highest.
What was Scary Movie 2?
Scary Movie 2, they didn't do.
This is just, I was thinking Scary Movie 2.
Date Movie is 7%. Epic Movie and Meet the Spartans, 2%. Oh. Disaster Movie, 1%. Oh. Vampires Suck, 4%. And then The Starving Games and Best Night Ever, 0%.
0%.
Yikes. Yeah.
And it looks like Best
Irredeemable.
Night Ever is... Have you guys got to Best Night Ever yet?
No.
Is that
no,
a parody of like The Hangover and stuff?
It's a hangover of Bridesmaids. A parody of Bridesmaids. It sounds
that's going to be so sick.
It just says, four young women have a series of wild and ruckus adventures during a bachelorette party in Las Vegas.
Is that actually a parody or is it just like a straightforward, like,
I don't
movie?
Know. A writer at AV Club called it a quote, joyless patience tester, so inept it doesn't even know how to cheat its own found footage gimmick. Further saying that the movie has more awkward dead space than jokes. Best Night Ever was their lowest budget one at $4.5 million, and it made $289,000 at the box office. God.
Fuck, man. Oh, so wait, how many have you watched, Brett, so far?
Just four now.
Okay, so you have like several to go.
Yeah, this is, he's telling me like my horrible future right yeah. now.
Get ready. Well, I do yeah, love I
nothing
to, like,
to look forward to.
Brian's, I do love Brian's just general technique of like, he'll bring up something that's bad on Twitter apropos of nothing. Like, you know, Brian was just walking somewhere in downtown Columbus, thought of like epic movie in his head, made some like offhand tweet about epic movie, and then instantly was like, oh fuck, I guess I'm gonna have to watch all of these now. It's like, no one said that. No one was like, hey man, I guess you're gonna have to watch them all. He was just like, fuck, I guess I tweeted about it once. I guess I've really dug myself a hole here.
It works. I just go with it. Like, I stop questioning whatever his flight of fancy is. Like, people love it. There's people that are replying, this is a great expose on culture in 2008. And then people just will write some real flowery language about us saying like, we sat through 90 minutes of homophobia.
Oh, that's, man. That's really good.
God damn.
Yeah. We haven't really done like a really bad culture thing lately. I mean, I guess it's funny that we're talking about it, Brett, because one of the times you did appear on this show, we made you watch The Fanatic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 That's just, I have an appetite for it.
Well,
you know,
The Fanatic is a fun one, 'cause it's one of those ones that does somehow come up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause especially like doing a new metal podcast, if I guest on other podcasts, they'll be like, oh, did you see like Fred Durst directs movies? And then I can tell the story about watching The Fanatic or whatever. It is one that does seem to like come up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is also, yeah. It also, I mean, I would say, yeah, you help me out in conversation when people are like, hey, this guy still listens to new metal. And then I'm just start expounding on the filmography of Fred Durst. And they're like, I don't know. I don't like any of that, but he was impressive.
Yeah.
He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that matters. Really.
Is that the only movie he's done?
I think it's the only feature film he's directed.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what I feel like that was his directorial debut.
He might have done one other one.
I feel like he's fucked with other movie stuff, though, or tried to. I mean,
yes, for sure.
Isn't that Pauly Shore movie, right?
Oh, Pauly Shore is dead or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see here. He's got a lot of acting credits. Oh, he's directed a lot of stuff, but see, like, a lot of this stuff is just, like, Limp Bizkit and, like, other videos.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he directed that Behind Blue Eyes video where he makes out with Halle Berry. He wrote that.
That's right. Yes.
Smart.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
He directed The Long Shots, the Ice Cube, the Ice Cube vehicle.
Oh, really?
Really?
2008.
You mean a tray? Yeah. An Ice Cube vehicle? A tray? You didn't even like smirk there, John.
I gave it what it deserved.
That wasn't worthy of a smirk?
No. The Long Shots is the true story of Jasmine Plummer, who at the age of 11 became the first female to play in the Pop Warner football tournament in its 56-year history. Fred Durst directed it, stars Ice Cube, Kiki Palmer, and that's like...
What's the Rotten Tomato rating on that one?
Let me take a peek here. Let me see.
By the way, Dan, you dropped a fry on the floor.
Oh, I'll get that.
Yeah, you better fucking pick that up, Dan.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm looking it up. The Long Shots. Okay, it has... What do you guys think? What's your guess?
I mean, it's tough because it seems like the type of movie that would maybe get like a 40 or 50 just based on the plot. But then I feel like Fred Durst directing it would like lower it a little bit. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go with 35 again.
Okay, Brett?
I'm going to go 17.
Okay, 41.
Oh, wow.
The Long Shots means well, but it's a largely formulaic affair, rarely deviating from the inspirational sports movie playbook.
Yeah. Hey, let me get the audience score on that.
The audience score?
Yeah.
61%.
Wow. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. The people love it. Majority of people like it. These snooty East Coasters don't fucking get on anything that we like.
So he directed that in 2008 and then did not direct anything again until The Fanatic in 2019. So he had an 11-year layoff after making a formulaic sports comedy to do that. But he's directed a lot of music videos. Like, I knew he directed all of the Limp Bizkit music videos, or a lot of them anyway.
Yeah,
that doesn't really count. That's like sweat equity, I think, is what they call that.
Yeah,
it's not really like a job.
But he's done a bunch of, he's done a few Korn videos. He did some Puddle of Mud videos, some Stained videos. He did a Cold video, Tommy Lee, Dead. So, you know, he's
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fine. Yeah. He also
he's an artiste.
Oh, I forgot. He also directed, sorry, his directorial debut was The Education of Charlie Banks. How could we forget that? With Jesse Eisenberg.
I've heard of that. Yeah. Okay.
It's actually pretty good if I remember. I feel like I've seen it.
Really?
No idea on that one. God.
That one is, I'll look up the Rotten Tomatoes on that one. But it's like a coming of age. It's like a coming of age thing with Eisen. I feel like it was one of Eisenberg's first movies.
Yeah, 2007. I mean, if you guys want to watch a really good, stupid, bad movie, The Book of Henry, if you haven't seen that. And I don't want to give too much away.
The Book of Henry?
The Book of Henry. It's about this like super intelligent kid who basically like runs his whole his mom. It's his mom is a single mom. He's got like a younger sister or brother, I think. And Henry is like, you know, sort of the head of the household. He like runs all the finances and everything, keeps everything going. And like, that's all I'm going to say. But it is absolutely insane.
Okay.
It's fucking crazy. I don't know.
I'll jot that down.
Have you
seen
it?
I'll jot that down.
No, I haven't seen it before.
Okay. Yeah. It's the guy who directed it. It was Colin Trevorrow, who directed Jurassic World, I think, and then was in line to direct one of the new Star Wars movies. And then I believe
he did.
He
didn't direct it. He
was involved with it, but I think he was supposed to direct it. And then my understanding is that The Book of Henry came out and was so insanely bad that they were like, let's maybe like hold back on you directing Star Wars.
Oh,
yeah.
He's one of the five writers.
Yeah.
That revoked. Is wild.
Yeah. You got revoked.
Yes.
Yeah. Education of Charlie Banks has 48% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Unevenness,
hey, no complaints.
And earnestness mire this otherwise sweet, surprising coming of age drama.
Okay.
Aww.
That's not bad.
So Fred Durst, there you go. Three movies. The
I got
Fanatic,
some movies
the long
to watch
shots,
tonight.
The Education of Charlie Banks.
Yeah. Geez, gonna get in my letterbox and update my lists.
Are you a letterbox guy, Brett?
Not publicly, but I do like it.
Yeah.
I like to log all the stuff I watch and like my immediate reactions to it and to go back and look at it.
You write up a little review for each one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually have something to say about everything and I don't want to always impose that on other people and it's not always worthwhile, but it's a place for me to just make like a 2-sentence snarky comment about a movie that makes me feel justified, I guess.
Yeah.
I got to get on there.
Yeah, people would love it if you were on
Letterboxd. I should get on there. It'd be funny if you were on there, John.
just
doing one a year.
17 movies I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I do, I don't watch much. I do watch like probably like one or two movies a month at the most. So that's
you're
why
way
I guess
ahead
it,
of me.
It makes it like a thing for me where it just, because I really sat down and dedicated my time. I treated it like it's a goddamn ritual or something instead of people that are just like churning through movies every weekend, you know?
Oh yeah. Some of the people on Letterboxd that have seen like thousands of movies.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this like a sickness? This is like a challenge to yourself,
right?
Or something.
Yeah.
It's like you just have to do it or you lose your mind or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah.
I that's the person I was thinking of, Dan. but yeah, like people might like my letterbox just because I hate everything.
I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, like we're looking at one right now. The person has seen 2,081 films, including 119 this year.
That's a lot of movies. I mean, I watch a decent amount of movies. But
we're in the
like,
ninth month of the year, so that's like fit almost to like 12 a month.
I'll watch like one a week, I think, probably.
Yeah.
Give or take. So that's
movies just aren't that good. They're not good enough to watch one a week. Let's be honest here.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah, I know. Like our friend Chris James watches so many movies.
Oh, he's a big movie guy.
He's a freak.
Well, he loves going to the theater.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, the one a day thing he does makes sense to me because there is like, I do have like in my head probably a few hundred that I need to get to. And like, yeah. If I don't start watching now, then like I'm going to miss out.
Yeah, exactly.
I also think Chris has his general attitude is that he just doesn't think any movie is bad.
The only movie...
He's just
that's
like
the best
like,
way to be.
He's like every movie is good.
He
to
just
me,
enjoys it.
Yeah.
He just enjoys the experience. But I know the only one that I think he almost walked out of was Shazam, the DC comics one.
Kazam.
Yeah,
right.
But like,
oh wait.
But like,
oh Shazam.
But that got like
the
pretty good reviews.
Superhero.
Yeah, that's the one where the kid becomes. It's like Big, but with like a superhero movie.
Okay. Yes.
And like, it got good reviews, and like, it just seemed like a weird one for Chris to hate. But like, as far as I know, that's the only one that he's hated.
Didn't you go, you went to Cats with him, didn't you?
Oh, we loved Cats. Cats was okay. Great.
All right.
Cats is an experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I usually end up, I watch a movie and then I'm like, it's the best movie I've ever seen. And I will tell everybody about it, that like, it will change your life if you watch this movie. And then until I see the next one, that's usually how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like the one good thing I have going for me as someone who hasn't seen most of the good movies is that if I wanted to get into movies,
I could just be
watching great movies all the time.
Like,
have you seen
like Goodfellas?
Goodfellas, that's okay. The one with
Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
And what's his face?
De Niro's in it.
De Niro. Yes, I think I've seen that one. I always get that one in Casino conflated.
The funny thing is
the Goodfellas one, the one where they smash the guy's hand with a hammer, or is that Casino?
That's like The Departed, isn't it?
No, it's like
it's Casino.
Because he gets caught gambling and then they're cheating.
You can't gamble in here. No, I know. It's the guy who's like got the little electronic system in his pants.
Something
right?
like that. Yeah, I just remember that's that Casino. Scene because I don't like
that's
it.
That's Casino. So you've seen Casino, but not Goodfellas.
I think that's right. I know I've seen.
Oh my God. Because
Casino's better.
Well, we thought.
Oh, see, there we go. Brett thinks Casino's better.
I like both of them. I like.
Brett thinks Casino's better.
And if you've seen one, you've seen them both.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying, Brett. Thank you.
I like both of them, but I will just say.
Why waste time? I won't watch The Godfather either. I've seen Casino.
This is incredible to me. Because we talked to Jesse on stream about this all the time. As far as I knew, Jesse was the only person who had seen Casino but not seen Goodfellas until just now. I mean,
do the shaking hands.
They're
tweet.
A rare breed.
Yeah, you got to let Jesse know.
I will.
Those weird brains just stick together.
I have seen Godfather Part 1 and 2 also.
Okay, that's good then.
So
fine.
There's that.
Okay,
and sure. I have seen The Departed.
Okay, yeah.
The Departed.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they always do. Cause it's,
yeah. Yeah, they're in Boston.
Yeah.
I remember very early on meeting Brian like over a decade ago and him being like into the mobster movies. And I was like, those guys like do crime, but make it like being CEOs and shit. Like it sucks. Like it seems really annoying. You have to show up and punch a clock and be treated like shit all the time. Like they make crime seem really unfun. I hate the genre. Like I hate mafia movies so much. They're so annoying to me. The way that guys try to think that it's some sort of morality or there's some sort of way you conduct yourself to like it, do business and all that. It's all like bankrupt to me. I hate the fucking all the mafia movies.
Nice. Okay. I can get on board with that. I've seen Donnie Brasco.
Okay.
I like that one too. That's
so you've
a good
seen
one.
A lot of mob movies actually.
Yeah. You've seen them.
Cause
seen
for them. A guy who doesn't see that many movies, you've seen a lot of them.
Well, you know, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is that your genre?
No, cartoons is my genre.
Oh, cartoon. Fuck that, man. I hate fucking adults that watch cartoons. Well, I have a kid. Well, maybe, I guess, because, you know, I have a kid. That's why, because I'm always surrounded by cartoons. Yes, yeah. But, like, whenever I'm hanging out with adults and they're like, this new animation came out, it's, like, brilliant. I'm like, it's, I want fucking and, like, hardcore stuff that is not. Not kid stuff. I want late nights. I want murders. I want felonies. Like, yeah. I want to watch. High octane.
I think I know what John's favorite movie is, by the way. If he likes cartoons and mob movies, is your favorite movie Shark Tale?
Yes, it is. The Will Smith vehicle.
Yeah.
Shark. He's in that, right?
Will Smith, I think. Angelina Jolie.
Maybe.
Is it? Well,
I feel like that one just had a crazy voice.
Are there
cast,
like two was, like, underwater ones?
I mean, well, there's Finding Nemo.
Martin Scorsese's in that one too, I think.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Smith, Robert De Niro, Renee Zellweger, Angelina Jolie, Jack Black, and Martin Scorsese.
Wow.
Yeah, because Finding Nemo is like the corny Pixar, like heartfelt one, but Shark Tale was just like the fun time for kids.
Yeah, it's also like a mob movie.
It's got like a bunch of like mob movie guys, like Michael Imperioli and Vincent Pastore and Peter Falk are all in it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But I like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking, Brett, and I think I'm probably right, is that I don't watch every cartoon. So I'm not like, oh, it's a cartoon movie, I have to watch it. I will only watch the ones that I think have like some substance or that they're well done or whatever. So probably for you, it sucks because you have to watch the sort of like Frozens and the, you know, the shitty cartoon ones. I'm trying to think of what other really bad cartoons there are. But
Trolls.
Like,
Trolls World Tour.
Yes, oh. Trolls. Yes, exactly. So
Sing, the one with the singing animals.
Yes. So like you got to watch those shitty ones like Over the Hedge and all, you know, like just all those.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Ice Age 4. Yeah, The Secret Life of Pets was dog shit. Why did you watch that one? I think I watched it on a plane.
Adults convinced themselves that one was good too.
Yes.
Like I was at plenty of parties where they're like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cheeky. I thought it was kind of good.
Louis C.K. was in it.
Yeah. Well, People thought it was like a comedy.
I was into The Secret Life of Pets because they played System of a Down in the trailer. So that was
really?
Yeah, oh, right. Because there's the little dog.
Bounce, pogo, 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 which is a song about groupies having sex with people.
Yeah. So
that's what the pogo that they're referring to.
The cat or the dog was dancing to.
Yeah. They're pogoing on a penis.
Sing, I think, is the new really bad one. Jesse's told me about that. I think his kids watched the first one. We watched one of the trailers on the stream for some reason.
So that's what I'm saying. I think you have to watch all the shitty cartoons, it would be impossible to enjoy the ones that are actually a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your Get Down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's yours? Like, what are we talking about? Like, what's the good animations?
Well, all the Toy Stories.
John loves Pixar.
You don't like the Toy Story movies?
It's okay.
What about like Spirited Away?
I like Spirited Away. Spirited Away.
Yeah, Spirited Away.
And
good.
I like Secret of Kells. And
I haven't seen that one.
That's a good one. It's from like Ireland. Okay. They do really good animation.
You know what's good? Kiki's Delivery Service.
That's a great one
too.
That's very pleasant.
We're a Studio Ghibli fan. Like we watch those over the Disney stuff because like the Disney shit is like so much like princess stories.
Yeah.
And so we spend most of our time watching like Pompoko. Or Spirited Away.
I watched Howl's Moving Castle recently.
Howl's Moving Castle. Yeah, so all good. That. That's what I spend most. That's the stuff I watch the most.
Okay,
Yeah. But I do like that stuff. I don't know. I don't have an appetite for it as much.
Yeah, no, I like all the main ones. Up was excellent.
Ratatouille
is very good. But there's some other like non-Pixar ones that are good too. Like Megamind was excellent.
Megamind, come on.
Megamind is good, dude. Megamind is good. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Exactly.
Seen
so shut the fuck up. You don't even know what you're talking about. But no, it's Megamind is good. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is good.
That is a good movie.
Yeah, thank you.
I agree with that. Yeah, the first one is good.
Yes, exactly. The first one is good.
Paranorman. I like Paranorman.
Paranorman was good.
Watch that every Halloween.
Rango was good.
Isn't Coraline really good?
Coraline, I didn't see, but I know
Coraline is great.
Yeah,
Coraline is scary as fuck. Mm-hmm. And like when kids are watching it, because they have like buttons for eyes. Like when you go to the other world, they steal your fucking eyeballs and put buttons instead. And then like these people try to control you. And like I'm watching it with my kid that's six, and she just thinks it's like awesome, you know. And I'm like, this is weirding me out like hardcore right now.
So I mean, there's lots of good cartoon movies, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I get you.
Don't worry about it.
But no, like Steven Universe or like She-Ra or anything.
I haven't seen those.
Steven Universe rocks.
Yeah,
you don't watch the shows, really. You don't watch the cartoon shows.
No, I don't watch the shows. Yeah. No.
You're just a movie. Okay.
Just the cartoon.
I think you would like Adventure Time. I could see you liking Adventure Time.
I've watched Adventure Time. I didn't care for it.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes like that, and like Rick and Morty. I don't care about those.
Yeah. Okay.
I like Bob's Burgers.
We've been watching a lot of Bob's Burgers
recently. Is a great show.
It's so much fun.
Love it.
My kid also loved that from a very early age. Like when she was like 3 or 4 years old, would turn on Bob's Burgers and love. And she didn't understand what was going on.
I was going to say, for a kid, you wouldn't really get it. Yeah.
No complaints. That's fine with me. Yeah, we can zone out and watch Bob's Burgers instead.
Yeah, that's a good show for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, speaking of good shows, let's move on to our social media updates.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
What a good segue.
Boy, was it smooth.
Stefan and John
are going to bring you the news. Prepare for a feast of rarefied takes. Terrible tweets from verified greats. They'll bring their personal feed to ya
with an update on their
social media.
Brett, we always like to start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
Oh, I have a big can of worms to open up.
Let's do it with y'all.
So this is something I've been thinking about because I'm a single man now, and my Instagram is where I find all the products I want to buy.
Yeah.
And it is overwhelmed with specialized underwear.
Okay.
And I'm getting like constant ads about like your dick is smelly and gross and disgusting and like it flips upside down and there's all these problems with it. And you need special $30 underwear to fix it. But I don't actually feel that way. Yeah. Like my regular underwear has been fine for me. And I accept that it's gross down there if I walk all day or, you know, that it's sweat happens.
Yeah.
But I am inundated all day long with like specialized underwear. And I want to know how y'all feel about that.
I mean, I think John and I both, like, I'm big into the Saks underwear.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't care for Saks.
I like the, well, I think you have bigger balls than me, right?
Yeah, so pouch is too small for my
nuts. Pouch is too small for my nuts. We talked about this last
week. And this is not a brag, by the way. Like, big balls is not a brag.
That's not a brag. That's like a problem.
Yeah. It's just, I find it just, it's what it is, actually. I'll be fully honest with you. I think we've talked about this on the show before. I have very tight balls.
Yes, we have.
So they're not even that. I wouldn't even say that they're like big. You wouldn't see. Yeah, you wouldn't see them and you'd be like, oh, these are comically big.
If they were big and moving around a lot,
that would be
the Saks would
be perfect.
Yeah.
So I think Saks are for guys whose balls are just generally a little bit more dangly. Yeah. But my balls don't dangle.
Right.
So the Saks, it's just like basically having extra fabric,
fabric
to chafe me.
Yeah, that's not going to do anything for you.
It just doesn't. I don't enjoy it. So,
I agree.
So Saks is not for me.
I like the Saks, but maybe I just have the balls.
Hangier balls.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Here's my thought, Brett. I
you're like a Mac Weldon guy or
no,
like,
no, I'm not. We've talked about this before, but right. I'm not. I don't understand guys who buy like Fruit of the Loom or like Joe Boxer. Like those.
Okay.
Those,
I'm not. Don't assume that about me.
I didn't say you. I wasn't. I said guys, Brett. I didn't say you. I don't understand because those feel like shit. They're this like rough fabric. It feels like garbage. Your mom bought you those when she couldn't afford to buy anything else when you were 7 and she knew you were going to grow out of them. Like there's no excuse to be wearing that kind of underwear. That said, there's also no excuse to spend $40 on a pair of underwear. Like to me,
I'll get the Saks and they're on sale.
Yes.
Just for the record, because otherwise
that's
it's like
fair.
Insane.
Yeah. I like a mid range where it's like a stretchy. Cause I also have I have a big ass.
You have a huge ass.
Yeah. So I need to like, I need
bubble butt and big balls.
Yes. Yeah. Bubble butt, tight balls. So I need like pretty breathable, stretchy underwear.
His balls look like just a smaller version of his ass.
That's true.
Wow.
That's actually true. So I like Lacoste.
Oh, okay.
You can actually get Lacoste for quite cheap. It sounds like they'd be expensive, but
I feel like you could get that at like Winners,
or
something. Correct. Or like TJ Maxx. Would
correct.
Be the,
yes. Yeah. So I like Lacoste. I like Bjorn Borg. Makes
that's
his own
the
tennis player,
had,
but he
we
makes
we talked
underwear.
About this at the cabin. Yeah.
And right now though, I'm actually really big into, we have a chain up here in Canada called Sport Check and they have an in-house brand called Rip Zone.
Oh,
and they actually make very comfortable underwear. I believe
you wearing,
yeah, I'm wearing a pair of Rip Zone right now.
I got the Saks on right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so Rip Zone are, yeah, it's just like, they're almost always on sale whenever I go there. So I end up getting them for about $10 a pair, which I think is very reasonable.
You for wear like underwear. Good underwear.
Yeah, you wear underwear every day.
Yeah.
And so that's my go-to, Brett. I agree with you. Like, I don't need aerodynamic, whatever they're trying
moisture
to sell
wicking.
Me.
Yeah. And then they add on sprays and like trimmers with like laser guidance and all that stuff. And it just feels like they're telling me that I'm have a problem that like doesn't exist because my solution is I just go to Nordstrom Rack and get whatever it's like on clearance.
Yes. And that,
like whatever
that's
my
good.
Size.
See, cause to me, like probably what you're getting at Nordstrom Rack is exactly the type of underwear I'm describing where it's like a nice, thin, stretchy material, breathable. It's like a step above your Joe Boxers, your Fruit of the Looms, but it's not your Saks or
the
your
Lululemon's
whatever.
Pretty good too, actually.
Yeah, they're expensive though.
They are,
but they're
very
good.
Nice.
Yeah. They're what you would expect.
Yeah, no, I mean I think the ball sack technology, I guess it's just not, I mean it's you know what
Saks
I'm talking about.
Technology.
Yeah. Like that's as far as I'm gonna go, I think, with like underwear technology probably.
Yeah, you don't need more than that.
No. No, I mean,
Brett, have you found that you're like, now that you're a single guy, that you felt like you had to step your game up a little bit?
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's like, I mean, in the same way that like all we offer to like girls is that they can like be violent like men as like equality. Like the only thing that they're offering to men is that like we can feel bad about our appearance. Like there's just like, there's so much makeup for men right now. Like, there's so many people that, like, I get an Instagram ad, and it's a guy, like, looking in the mirror, and he's like, and it just, it's a little tinted. And I'm like, fuck it. Turn, no, I don't want to see it. I don't want to feel bad about my bags. You know, I don't want to feel bad. I'm a guy. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. But now, all of a sudden, I have all these insecurities about my body and the way I look.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that?
Makes you think about what society's been doing to women for centuries.
Exactly. And like, if a woman, like, if I'm buying $90 eye creams and I'm buying makeup and doing all this, like, I don't have money for dates anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just gonna be like me and you sitting in the house with all our makeup on, like looking ready to go somewhere, but I don't have any expendable income anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think isn't that sort of the, like, that is a reason people will give for, like, that's why the guy pays for the first date or whatever, because the woman has spent all this money on the makeup, so you spend money on the date.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. I
accept that. I really do accept it. Sure. Like, that's the thing is, like, I know that you paid for nails. It's not cheap. I've been on the other side. I know it's not cheap to put any of this together. So that's why it's not a problem for me. But like, if I got to start feeling bad about myself and buying eye creams and like all this other stuff, like, it's going to bankrupt me.
Yeah.
Like,
it's expensive.
I just felt too, I would just think, I think in like underwear in general, I feel like is a place you go where you're like, oh, someone new might see this, so I gotta have like a cool pattern, or I gotta have something going on here. Yeah. I can't just have like a black pair.
Yeah,
I bought sexy underwear immediately.
Hell yes!
I typed in men's lingerie to see what came up.
Well, have you guys seen the one where it's like the Saks technology, but it's for your penis and it goes out? It's like separate from the boxer, so it's like your penis can like hang out.
No, thank you.
I swear.
It used to be called the Mr. Nose Thong at the sex shop 20 years ago.
Yeah, oh my God. It's essentially, so Dan is now looking at
men's lingerie on Yandy.com.
They used to sell an elephant thong that had like a trunk that you could insert yourself in.
Yes, right. Yeah. Oh my God.
God damn.
That's wild, man. Yeah. Oh my. Oh, okay.
I'm not there yet.
Dan is showing us this.
It's called the men's tormentor O-ring harness.
Ooh.
They're using O-ring in the wrong way.
Well, it's because you got a collar around your neck and it's tied to a leather pouch that's around your penis and balls. So if you like lift your head up, you'll lift up your penis and balls.
Yes.
Oh,
but the O-ring they're referring to is around the neck. When I think of O-ring, I think of butthole.
Yeah. That's sort of what I was thinking of too. Yeah.
I'm thinking cock ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
This is a great website.
It's got a lot of content. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Stefan, what's going on in your social media?
I just saw this on Twitter before we got on here, and this is really funny. The guy's name is John O-ringer.
Oh, perfect. Synchronicity.
O-R-I-N-G-E-R.
Wow.
It's probably John Oringer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably.
He is, I think, the founder of Shutterstock.
Oh, okay.
The photo website.
Yeah.
And he has since deleted this thread, and I'm going to read parts of it to you. And this is how the thread starts. On 9/11, I looked up and saw the second plane hit the World Trade Center. I can still feel the searing heat from the explosion. That day changed my entrepreneurial journey forever. Here is the story.
Haven't you shared this before?
No, this is just now.
Oh, this sounds like a very similar tweet along these lines.
No,
we all need a reason to get entrepreneurial. And 9/11, you know, I started doing my eBay store because of 9/11, you know, like that's just what was in our blood.
That's essentially what this thread is. So
we had to do business.
That's like literally what this thread. So he goes on for a while. There's like 25 tweets. He's deleted all of them. I mean, these are like, they're like horrible because he's like explicitly talking about like being standing below the World Trade Center during 9/11. And there's a lot of like awful,
so
awful
stuff. But did he actually, like, is he saying he was actually
there?
He
was
there.
It sounds like.
Lay it on us.
Because he's like, I heard a plane flying above and people started to scream. As I looked up, the second plane went straight into the South Tower. The heat was so intense, it burned in a way I will never forget. The moment is literally seared into my body and memory. And then a few tweets later,
heavy metal, dude.
It is. Yeah. A few tweets later, he says, given the destruction I saw, I committed to building as much as I could. I created 10 tech internet businesses, including Shutterstock from 2001 to 2003. Oof. Internet stocks had all crashed. I saw destruction and disruption now as an opportunity.
Yeah, I need to increase the tax base. If I can provide jobs for this company that makes me a ton of money, like that will make money for the United States government that I love.
He has since written an apology tweet. and has made it so only people who he follows or mentioned can reply to him.
Why do you apologize?
Well, he says, I deleted a thread I wrote earlier. My words did not accurately convey what was in my heart. I should have thought more carefully about their potential impact. My thoughts are with all 9/11 survivors and all affected both by that day and by the events that came afterward. And it says it's doing the thing on Twitter where it's like, show more replies. And then you click on it and then you can't see the reply, which tells you it's like something absolutely horrible. If Twitter's like, no, you don't want to see this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's at 41 quote tweets right now. So, I mean, that's my favorite thing is how you can turn off replies from people, but they can still just quote tweet you.
Yeah.
Just completely defeating the purpose of that feature.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, it's nice to kind of get like a good, stupid tech guy thread like that.
We John O'Ringer. In a
while. Yeah. Thank you, John. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Salute.
Thank you, John, for your social media.
Hey, you're welcome. Yeah, it's upcoming. This one is great. This is just a quick video clip here. Someone obviously asked Charles Barkley about the vaccine, former NBA player, current NBA commentator. And
he told me not to be his role model, but like seriously, like he was my role model. Like I thought he was so cool when I was a kid.
I mean, great. This is good. This is a good video. Don't worry, Brett. This is not a bad video. But this is just, it's great because it looks like they're just sort of interviewing him in a parking lot. I don't even really know what this is for. He looks, you know, like Charles Barkley, the second he's out of an NBA studio, he just immediately looks like the most disheveled man on earth, which is what he's looking like here. He looks very
tired.
He's in the middle of a parking lot. But I guess, yeah, someone asked him about, you know, people getting the vaccine and this was his response.
Just trying to urge everybody to quit being selfish and get the vaccine. You know, you don't get the vaccine for yourself. You get it for the people around you. You know, I hear a lot of I and me. Like, I don't want to do this. Me, I'm only concerned about me. But that's not the way the world works. You know, I got the vaccine so I can go around other people. And it's really unfortunate that we have to beg people to get the vaccine. I mean, who don't want to live? Just trying to urge it.
It's just that last
who
line.
Don't want to live.
Charles Barkley delivers, I mean, it only it the way perfectly. He can.
That is so smooth with the doom doo 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 doom doom. It has the beat going in the background. Yeah. You can hear from like the parking lot.
Totally.
It's like the best way to send the message.
Yeah. I mean,
like it just sounds so cold. Like just hey, this is why we do it. It's not a big thing. Like no, don't worry about it. Just because other people, it could be a problem. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's who great. Don't want to live?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Answer me that. Yeah. You don't want to live, you know? So yeah, I just thought it was a perfect quote for the perfect times of Charles Barkley. And speaking of perfect quotes,
still my role model, even though he doesn't want me to be.
As he should be. Speaking of perfect quotes, let's move on to our block tale.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts. Block tale. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a block tail. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a block tail.
All right, so this is me.
So yeah, this is a hell block episode, Stefan. This is where you talk about a time that you got blocked on the internet.
Yeah. So
you know, go ahead.
The guy who blocked me is named John Pavlovitz.
Okay.
I did not know who he was before he blocked me. And I don't really know who he is now. I think he's a writer.
Okay.
But he's verified on Twitter. And the reason he came to my attention is this was like peak like Twitter like Trump resistance. And I mean, this is just, I'll read the tweet. This was on November 29th, 2017. The Avengers Infinity War trailer had just dropped.
Okay.
Here's the post. And so he posted this. Dear hashtag Avengers, I know Thanos has you all preoccupied, but if you can dispatch a few web-slinging, gamma-irradiated, armor-suited peeps over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we're dealing with our own oddly colored madman trying to destroy humanity. Thanks. Hashtag Infinity War trailer.
Yeah, there needs to be punishment for stuff like that. There needs to be, you need to get in trouble. You should be in trouble.
Well,
something should happen if you tweet that.
I did like sort of punish him, I guess, because I saw that post and I was like, I mean, I have to do something with this. This is like,
of course. I mean,
My bully alarm is going off like crazy. I just want to take his fucking pants down in front of everybody in the auditorium.
Absolutely.
That was, yeah. Watching Brett's face as you were reading that tweet, it was a real treat. It was a real delight for me.
So I stole the tweet word for word.
Right.
And just like posted it exactly. And like everyone, because I guess it had been going around a little bit that morning. And so like people like were aware of like how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then so like a bunch of people like retweeted it and they were like replying and like pretending that like it was my idea. And it was like, this is such a great post. We love this post so much. And then, I mean, I think he's since deleted the actual tweet.
Oh, okay.
So he's deleted that tweet. I think because every time it at this point, it's only getting interacted with ironically.
Of course. Yeah. The moment's passed, right? When you're doing something about a movie trailer, you know, it's not.
Exactly.
But, I don't know, but I feel like you got to live in spite of other people and like really just stand in your mess firmly and like not delete, just let people clown on it and just go and figure it out.
Well, like I always live your think life of the, in another way. The Josh TPM guy who posted the Pornhub link. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that link is still up. That tweet is still up. And you know what? I don't really like that guy very much, but I fucking respect that.
It's a gift.
That his porno link is still up, you know?
Right. It's a gift. And if he was at a bar and he's like, I'm Josh TPM and you're in Chicago, you're like, I'm going to buy you a Malort. Like you're thanks for keeping that up.
Thank you for keeping that up. You kept the porn. Like I genuinely do respect that so much. He didn't try to do like, oh, I was hacked. He's like, no, I was looking at porno and I accidentally clicked the Pornhub share button that's on there for some reason.
Yeah. I love that.
This guy came after me. He has unfortunately since deleted those replies as well, but he was like very mad at me. He was like calling me out for stealing the tweet. And I was just doing the thing of our friend CJ does this a lot where he'll just be like, I didn't steal that. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Where you just say like, you just stonewall them.
Yeah.
And it's so obnoxious. And it's the easiest thing in the world to do. And it drives people fucking insane.
And they go so long. Oh. I don't know. Like I will never go nine deep on somebody that's giving me that, but people will just not quit.
They bite on it. And it's because they want to be the smartest person in the room. And they assume like, oh, this person's really stupid. Not, oh, this person is fucking with me.
Right.
And so then a bunch of his followers got into my replies. And this is, I think, the first time I used the idea, because I've done this a couple more times with really bad posts, where I steal the post and then when they like call me out, I'll be like, no, if you look at like the timestamps, mine was actually first. And it's like clearly not the case. And then someone will inevitably post like a side-by-side screenshot, which is like, that's what I'm hoping for. And then I'll be like, oh no, well it's because of time zones. I'm in a different time zone. Yeah. I'm in Pacific and he's Eastern. And so it's a different time zone. And
brilliant.
That doesn't explain anything at all. It's very stupid. And
it's enough.
And they just don't know how to react to it. Yeah.
It's enough. It's literally enough to keep it rolling.
All you have to do.
You're right.
And there's, it's
TikTok does the same thing. There's always a TikTok where someone's like, oh, thanks. I did this 5 hours ago. And then it's like, well, actually mine got uploaded, but then it got corrupted. They took it down for a rights violation. So I chose a different song. So I did it first.
It's great. And I do sort of miss those days of Twitter where the biggest issue was like tweet stealing and that sort of thing as well.
Yes. People that want people that like, I get that sometimes when I share stuff with Street Fight where people like want credit for the meme that I posted because they found it. And then I always just say, I took it down. That's all I reply. It's like I say, I took it down and then just delete the post.
Yeah. No. And I think the best part of like, so when I did this is that most like 75% of the people in the replies were like my followers who like understood the bit and they can like lean right into it. So like you'll get someone replying to me being like, well, you stole this tweet. And then you'll get one of my followers. This is from Garlic Corgi who says, Stefan's number is lower. That means he tweeted it first in brackets. Time goes up.
I've met Garlic Corgi in real life. Great dude.
He's great. He's so funny. But there was just so much of that. It went on for like a couple days. Someone got really mad at me. And if you're ever in this situation, another thing to do is to like spell a really easily spelled word wrong. And that'll really throw them for a loop. So I was like, this guy was going after me about the time zone thing. And I was like, again, two words for you. Time zones. and then I replied to myself and said zones right after. But just like sprinkling in more of those like stupid little actions where they're just like what, like, what is going on? You know?
Yeah.
I mean?
Just, yeah. You're giving them pyrite. You're giving them fool's gold.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit of something to keep like wasting their time on this stupid thing that they're doing.
It's so good.
Like, you should just go somewhere else. Like just don't worry about this. Don't worry about the timestamps on this.
It's so much fun. And it is like my favorite, I think in this genre is, our friend Lydia Burrell.
Yes.
Who had the one about there was like an infographic going around that was like only like 47% of like women and like 39% of men wash their hands after going to the bathroom. And then he quote tweeted it and said, yeah, that's almost 100%. So like, what's the problem here?
Oh God. I follow a lot of lobies.
Yeah.
And I saw like under 500 accounts screenshot and say like, why is this guy like of guests on all these shows? He's such a fucking idiot.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's still going. I've seen people like screenshotting it like this year. It's like, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And this is one of my favorite examples is the Avengers one. I did one with Chuck Wendig as well.
Yes, that was our last hell block.
Yeah,
and
stole
obviously
the,
you did the Baby Yoda tattoo.
The Baby Yoda tattoo. That, I mean, that's maybe the, yeah. God, that was so, I got to do something to that guy again. Not Baby Yoda, the guy who got the tattoo.
Yeah,
the Chuck Wendig one was the, it's Wednesday, it's time to flumpty flu.
Yes, flippity floppity.
Flippity flop, you need a firmware upgrade in the form of coffee. I mean, that one I think is worse than the Avengers one. But the Avengers one gave me the taste of stealing posts like that and just completely stonewalling them, and it's so fun. So that's my block tale.
Great block tale.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Or hell block, I guess.
Hell block. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Whatever. We haven't really decided what, you know, we're 3 years in. Whatever.
We'll all is well.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything to sell because you're already here at the thing that I would sell. So that means we're at the top three. Brett, this is your time to shine. What do you have for us?
Well, during quarantine, I got back into my Fast and the Furious lifestyle, started watching Formula One racing and all of that. So I wanted to know your top three sports cars.
Okay.
We haven't done that, I think, because most people come on the show and they're like, John and Stefan are wimps. Those are
and,
fucking losers.
Yeah. As loose as you want to be, just sporty, fast cars. Doesn't have to be like, you know, foreigns and all of the big cars. But yeah, okay. I'm interested.
Okay.
Okay. Top three sports cars. Okay. What's your number three, Brett?
My number three is the R32 Skyline, Nissan Skyline from the 90s.
Yeah.
It is it very much looks like a 90s car. It's also a choice that is like a poser choice, because they were very hard to get and they only made them in Japan. So I thought of this earlier because a friend of mine a few years ago ended up buying one and importing it from Japan, and he posted it on his Facebook and he had a picture of it in his garage. And I said, no way. And he was like, hell yeah, I'll come to your house and show you. And I was like, please do. I want to go on a ride in it. So he came to my house and took me down the freeway in his Skyline, and it was fucking awesome. So that's some advice too. If someone you know in your social media just got a brand new like muscle car, just say I want to ride in it. They will give it. You don't have to buy one.
Wow. Okay.
Damn, that's a great call. Yeah, I gotta know more people with sports cars.
My number three is and this is like I only know this from like seeing it in like memes and stuff and. A couple times in like video games, but there's an anime or like a manga called Initial D.
Oh yeah.
Which is like, it's like a drifting. It's like all about drifting. And I think this is the car I'm thinking of. It's the Toyota Sprinter Truno GT Apex.
And it's like a Panda 86.
It looks so fucking cool.
Wait,
I think that's,
wait, which one is it?
It's called the Panda. Yeah. The White Ghost, or 86. Yeah. It's like it's like the main car, I think, in the series. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but it just looks so fucking cool. It looks great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's my.
It was like a souped up Corolla and a super awesome car. Sleepers, those are my favorite cars too.
Yeah, that's my number three, John.
Okay, look, I just want to clarify that I do not think this car is good anymore.
Okay.
But when I was a kid,
okay,
the car I wanted really bad was a Dodge Viper.
Okay.
Oh, still the best.
That's okay. That's still okay. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like some people shit on Vipers a bit. So I just wanted to get out ahead of it. I feel like for me, obviously Vipers look cool, but it was always the midnight blue with the white racing stripe down the middle that just it just looks incredible. That to me is like the, you could also go for the neon green. I know people, cause it's a snake, you go for the neon green, but yeah, that was always my kind of, that was my main love when I was a kid, was I was like, when I get old enough and make enough money, I'm going to buy a Dodge Viper. And now, yeah, now I'm an adult and I'm like, I'm absolutely not going to buy a Dodge Viper.
You'll come back around to it. Once your testosterone starts deteriorating, you're going to have to put it into other projects.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'll get to that later, actually. Yeah.
Well, I saw Brett. Can we talk a little bit about your car?
Oh, yeah.
Because you got the hood on your car painted.
It's so good.
The hood and the whole side, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen the side. I think I've just seen the hood.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Incredible artist is Eric Diehl Paintings, E-R-I-C-D-I-E-H-L Paintings. He sent me this email. Some movie wanted to pay him to paint an RV, some scenic thing on an RV. And they wanted it in a short amount of time for not much money. And he was like, I'd rather just work with people I like. And so he listens to Street Fight. And we did a fundraiser. We sold patches and stickers with the image that got painted on my car, which is a cobra and a Black Panther fighting on the hood. And then along the side, it's the ice wall at the end of the earth with a wizard controlling lightning, like doing
incredible.
A lightning.
So good.
And it's, your car's a Prius, right?
Yeah. It's a, yeah, that's what I chose.
That's what makes it even better. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. When he messaged me, he was like, I want to do something. I'm like, well, it's like powered by electricity, so we should do like a wizard with like electricity type thing.
God, that rocks. So yeah. I just remember when I saw it and I was like, this is truly incredible.
It's ridiculous. It was awesome. Awesome. And people, like, it's weird because I forget that it's on there and I'm driving down the road and people would just like smile at me or like throw a peace sign or like a thumbs up. And I'm like, man, I'm having like the best day ever. What's going on? Why is everybody grooving with me? And I'm like, oh, it's because there's a huge mural painted on my car.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What is your number two, Brett?
My number two is the Audi RS4.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a station wagon, which I've always been obsessed with. And, along with like the Panda 86, it's such a sleeper car that like, I could just imagine souping up an RS4 and a station wagon and just tearing ass and taking down like a Mustang or somebody's Camaro or something. I've always loved them.
All right.
And yeah, they're very nice.
All wheel drive is nice too.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I had to look this up. I didn't know that it's the Subaru I always like. It's the Impreza, the rally car.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is
Colin
like,
McRae.
That's like a classic, you know.
Yeah.
And just like that shade of blue for some reason as well.
Yeah.
I almost consider it like Subaru blue. You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
It was iconic. Yeah. He did so much for the sport and incredible racer. And that car was the shit. That was like all I wanted when I was a kid. I dreamed about having like a lease payment on that was $800 a month. I couldn't afford that. Would get repoed or something, you know?
That's my number two.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
It's a good
choice. Good choices so far.
I'm a big fan of the N64 game Beetle Adventure Racing.
Oh, so that's a good game.
It is a great game, but I'm not, a Beetle is not my choice. I guess I'm just like, my top two are just like absolutely stupid cars that no one should own, but they're just so dumb.
You have a new metal podcast as well.
Yeah, true, true. So people know. Yeah, you're right. They already know I'm very dumb.
You're a meathead.
My number two is the Aston Martin Vanquish.
Oh, wow.
I just love that's what I mean more. It's like not dumb, but it's just like, you know, it's like a $300,000 car. I don't, no one should own it. It just is like, it's just a beautiful car. It's just like a head turner. When you see it, it's incredible. It looks so good. It's just classy and... That's more like when I think of sports cars or like that type of car, I tend to gravitate more towards the like sleek European car than anything else. I think because that's just the kind of guy I am. Surprisingly, even though I do have a new metal podcast, I'm a bit more of a Nancy boy than anything else. So
no, I get it. No, they're awesome. They're amazing cars.
So Brett, you're number one.
My number one is a Nissan 280Z. And that's because there was when I was like about to drive, I looked up all the Transformers and they were like all really, really expensive cars. But the Nissan 280Z smokescreen, the Transformer smokescreen, was like the most affordable car on the list. So I've loved it ever since. I love the way it looks. It also takes like you can throw a Chevy LS6 in it really easily and do like a thing. So I think that maybe my 40-year-old like garage project will be refixing up a 280Z and making
sweet.
It look like smokescreen, painting it to look like smokescreen from the Transformers.
Damn, that rocks.
That's a nice car, no wow. question.
Number one, I was going to go with the Plymouth Prowler, but I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, now, that's baller.
I sort of like respect how like insane that one is.
Yes.
I know. I mean, it is. They went for it. Like I do. I agree as well. Like it's so cars are so safe and they all look the fucking same anymore. Yeah. And like just to be reckless is I like it. I applaud it.
It's great. But my real choice, I think, is going to be Ayrton Senna, his McLaren F1 car.
Yeah.
Which is just like so sick. It's like the red and white. It's Marlboro sponsored it. You don't see cigarette companies sponsoring race cars anymore. But Brett, have you seen Senna, the documentary?
Yeah, I love it. I'm a huge fan.
It's so good.
It really is like, I would say for anybody listening to this, like you do not have to like racing to appreciate Senna. It's like along the lines of King of Kong.
Yeah.
Or like Food Inc. or Corporation, like it's just like a legitimate documentary that you will be invested in immediately and will change you afterwards.
Yeah, and like the racing, it's like the footage of the racing itself is like so insane too. But
yeah, I'm addicted to it.
So that's my number one. Although his the one he drove for Lotus, like the all black one, was like so sick as well. But John, number one.
My number one is also a McLaren. I'm going with the McLaren 765 LT Spider. McLarens are just the stupidest cars. they just look insane because they don't make that many. Like the 765 LT Spider, they're only making 765 of them. And we live in Vancouver where people are rich enough to buy a McLaren. So like,
give me 1 second. I'll be back.
Sure. So sort of the, like, the one thing that you kind of,
is it this one here, the green one or the blue one?
Yeah. Just the, it's, you can look it up on their website. Oh, there we go.
Oh, wow.
Brett's got the McLaren hat that he's brought out for us. Love the McLaren hat. Beautiful.
Huge McLaren fan. Yes.
Hell
I had
yes.
to go grab it and show you. I rep it all the time. Yeah. I loved them too. And Indy has them, F1 has them, they're great cars.
And I just think it's like the ones that are street legal that they make or whatever. It's just like I said, we live in Vancouver, so you know, we see lots of supercars around Vancouver, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, you know, Aston Martin.
Oh, it has the scissor doors too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you to have a car like a McLaren where it does turn heads, like obviously, I'll still turn ahead if I see like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, but legitimately living in Vancouver, you see them like once a week or whatever. Like it's not uncommon to see them. So it gets to a point where you're like, okay, it's a Ferrari. That's nice, but it does. But McLarens are like that level of rarity where you're always turning ahead if you're in a McLaren. Always. They're loud. They're beautiful. They look so good too. I love the McLaren, and I think the McLaren almost has kind of like almost like a Maserati feel too, where the bodies are like a little bit bigger. So it feels like it would actually be fun to drive. Like I feel like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, you're like kind of almost like right on the road and you're like, it feels like almost small in a way where I feel like something like I've always liked Maseratis or Aston Martins or McLarens for that reason. They feel like a little bit of a bigger body, so you'd actually probably enjoy driving it a little bit more than a supercar that sort of feels like it probably is only meant to be driven on a racetrack.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, that's why I like the luxury car stuff too, is like I like to go fast with a little bit of elbow room. But yeah, the tiny, like the Lotuses and the tiny little race cars are like not the same. I'm glad you're McLaren family. This is perfect synergy. I'm so happy that we agree. That's my favorite racers in all of professional motorsports.
Hell yes. Well, I'm very happy to be one happy family. Yeah. This is great. this fucking XLR. Brett, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure to have you as always. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Just if you haven't heard us before, check out Street Fight Radio. Me and Brian have been doing the show for like 10 years now, and we're still keeping it up. We haven't given up yet. So, and it's always changing and fun, and we always get to work with new people, and it's really been a blessing. So if you like what you heard here, there's a lot more of it over at streetfightradio.com or on any of the podcasting platforms.
There you go. Yeah, excellent. we're obviously both huge fans of Street Fight as well, and we love Brett, and also too, you guys, your Patreon is just so fun. Like we were talking about it earlier, you guys are always doing
There's so many different types of things
you're doing. I know Brian's got his Shocktober coming up soon. You guys are watching all those MCU movies. You know, you guys just always have fun.
We
shit
went
going
on for the Don
there.
Cherry episode.
Yeah, we did the Don Cherry episode when Brian was doing the Sports Jock Talk Radio. And it's always you guys are always doing great stuff. We love you guys. And check out Street Fight. If you never have, you can follow Brett on Twitter at Brett Payne, P-A-I-N, and two T's in Brett. And thank you so much for donating to our show and for listening to this. We appreciate you and we love you. And we'll see you back here very soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.